Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And here we go, another edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNradio.com on this beautiful Wednesday in October. A little crisp out there, but it's going to be warming up to almost 70 today as we broadcast live here from the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower on the beautiful, magnificent Mile. I am Mike Jacobson. Man to my right, Scott King. He writes for WGNradio.com. It's called The Chelsea Blogger. You should read it. You can find it. WGNradio.com. Click the Blackhawks tab. It's all there. Also, Blackhawks, crazy. We have a Facebook page. It's 2017 and we have a Facebook page. Facebook.com/Blackhawks crazy. You can follow Scott on Twitter at Scott King Media. I am at Jacobson Radio on Twitter. Hello, sir.
That was the most crisp and smooth you've ever gotten the plugs in. And you got them up right up top, too. We got to tell everyone that, you know, we love doing the show here, and me and especially you today, we fought the allergy bug to be here.
Oh, man. I mean, you might be able to tell in my voice a little bit. I'm a little stuffed up. I woke up this morning.
Yeah, it's been bad for us.
The past couple of days, I know it's ironically because the mold in Chicago kind of made a headline last week with Dusty Baker and his comments about how that's why the Nationals were all underneath the weather because of the mold in Chicago. But that has been a big part of the allergy report the past couple of days, because I get it every day here on WGN Radio and on WGN TV. They've been talking about
the
it.
Pollen so. Counts, yeah. That's
and like, the pollen, too. Yeah, not good.
That's another one. That's another one.
So we're battling through adversity. Blackhawks crazy strong. I don't know how we do it.
We got to do it.
And we got to get braces.
We're paid to be here every week. Handsomely, I might add.
That's right. That's right. And speaking of on the mend, but coming back, Mr. Schmaltz will be back in the lineup. I don't think there's anybody happier than probably Patrick Kane, but it'll be cool to see him back on the ice, good old number eight.
Nick Schmaltz back in tonight versus St. Louis. Tough game versus St. Louis. They're 4-2-0. Hawks 4-1-1.
So yeah, both off to really good starts in the Central.
Yeah, Tarasenko doing well. I think Schwartz is leading St. Louis in goals. But yeah, Kane, you know, I was there Monday. I was with Chris Bowden, who we're going to talk to shortly, was there also. A lot of the media was there Monday. And Kane said, look, yeah, I haven't played really well without him, without Nick Schmaltz. And, you know, it's funny to hear Kane say that, because that's a guy that me and you especially have been saying that he plays well no matter who he's with, because he's Patrick Kane.
Yeah,
he makes things happen. But he got a little cold, and you know, Schmaltz, that first game, you know, his speed and his skill and the way he looks this year and looked in camp, that was the reason they got a 10-1 victory over the Penguins. So they look so good, and Kane looks so good in that game especially. But it, you know, Schmaltz, he got hurt late in that first game, and after how well he was playing, how well the team was playing, and the momentum they were getting from him, is kind of scary to see him get hurt. He comes back for the second game, gets hurt very early in the second game. Yeah. He's been out ever since. You know, there's been four games since that. So is there a you know, is there some bad luck? Is there something where he's going to have to avoid the injury bug? And they're putting a lot of, you know, I don't know if you want to call it pressure, but he's kind of been made out to be the savior. We have Patrick Kane, one of the best players in the league, saying, yeah, I haven't been that good without him. And he did say that's when you're playing with someone for, like, you know, a month in camp, you just kind of get used to that chemistry. But also they play well together, and they kind of need him on the power play too. We saw the units get changed up.
Yeah, and that's something that we want to definitely talk about with Chris Bowden, who's the newest addition here to the WGN Radio family on our Blackhawks coverage. He took over for Judd Surratt, who's doing a great job doing the play-by-play for the Boston Bruins. I've actually heard a couple of his calls.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'd like to listen to those, too. That's
great. It's been really good. It's a dream job for Judd, but we're really happy to have Chris, and he'll be joining us here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, he covered the Hawks for Comcast. Chris has been around, and he was in a booth before. He did radio before.
I think Chris has worked for every radio station in town and
really?
Every television station.
See, I always thought of him as a – when I was reading his bio, I thought it was interesting. I always thought of him as a TV guy.
Well,
because he's so good on Comcast. So I figured
he
was just a TV guy. But, he did all this radio.
And he's done everything. I mean, he's covered every single team in town, and he's been a staple in this town for a really long time. So the fact that we were able to scoop him up, his contract was not renewed at Comcast, so it ended up working out for us, for Judd, and for him. So
everything was out of left field, but it's a great fit.
Yeah, I mean, how would you have liked to have been Chris? You know, you come on, you know, 2 days before the season starts, and then you got to get right into the swing of things. You got to learn the format of the pregame and the postgame, how we do it here. And I'll tell you right now, it is not easy to switch from the television to the radio booth. Now, I know he used to do radio, but he's been doing TV for a long time. A lot of the, you probably saw him most doing Bears coverage. He used to do the pre
and
post.
Yeah, most recently, yeah.
He used to do that with Jim Miller and Dan Jiggetts, and he did a great job with that, but he's a total pro, and we can't wait to get his thoughts here on the Blackhawks and what he has seen so far in this really hot start for them. I would say it's a little bit of a surprise. I didn't think they would come out of the gate this well, especially with this schedule that they've had. This has not been an easy schedule. They've only lost one game in regulation.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty impressive. But the newest voice right here on the WGN Radio family, he's your pre- and post-game host. We bring in Chris Bowden. Sir, first off, welcome to the family.
Glad to be with you guys. How are you?
Doing great. We were just talking about before you came on, and me being a radio guy my entire career, did a little bit of TV when I produced the Cap and Haw show, but you have been a staple in this town for so long. But was it tough transitioning from television to radio since it's been so long since you've been in a radio booth?
And I think Mike pointed out too, Chris, just a couple of days before the season started. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. It really hasn't. I don't know, unless it sounded that way.
Absolutely not. No, I was just going to say, you've sounded great. That's what amazes me. Is it like riding a bike, essentially?
I'm not sure about that. A little swervy at first, I guess. I was actually just trained in radio at Columbia down here downtown. And that was my life's calling, and what I was focused on. TV kind of happened by accident. And once I got into that, you know, I noticed, you know, some differences. You know, radio, when you're doing the 15s and 45s like I used to down the dial, while it's certainly a privilege, and I'll never have any regrets or complaints doing that or anything on radio for that matter. But, you know, once you're doing it for a while, sometimes it's not boredom, but it's routine. And when some TV opportunities opened up for me, I got to see how life works on that end of things. And, you know, it was a different kind of rush in terms of, in order to make that work. In radio, more or less, you know, you're in charge of your own ship. You have pretty much control about how things are going to run. And on the TV end of things, the difference there is you need a whole lot of people working together, making it right in order to get through a TV sportscast or to get through a TV live shot and things like that, you know, between cameramen and technicians and directors and producers and stuff like that. So it's a different kind of teamwork. But you know, by all means, no, it's great to be back in radio in this role too. So having a little taste of what both worlds are like, I've been real privileged that way.
Chris, Nick Schmaltz back in versus the Blues tonight. Is it almost, you know, I know you were there Monday when we talked to the media, us talked to Quinville and Kane and those guys. Is it almost dangerous how much they're banking on him kind of in the savior role now with, you know, helping out the power play? Kane saying that, you know, he hasn't been very good without Schmaltz. Are they almost putting too much stock in him, even though he looked great in camp and looked great in that first game?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly set the bar high while he was out there. I mean, think about it. The guy has been on the ice for 16 minutes this season, and he has a +5. Now, granted, a lot of it had to do in that opener where everything was going the Blackhawks' way. But I think the interesting point there is you finally started to see glimpses. You know, if you watched Schmaltz last year as a rookie, just like, you know, whether it's me in a radio booth or anything in a first-time job, you know, sometimes you're thinking instead of just reacting and doing what comes naturally. When you're looking at Schmaltz a year ago, you know, you could see that little hesitation instead of just going out and playing. You know, and it's almost like, you know, second-year football players, you know, all Bears talk about how you know, Leonard Floyd is better, and some of these second-year players are better where they're not thinking as much. And I think that's kind of what we saw from Schmaltz early on, where, you know, he was at full speed. You know, he was able to do everything he wanted to. He knows what the league is about now and what to expect. And I mean, it was a pretty good taste of what we saw in that four periods of the season.
Right.
Not even that. And whether it's too much or not, I'm just anxious to see once he gets back you know, how much electricity he might be able to bring back to that second line. And as a result of that, you know, there's just a trickle-down effect throughout the roster. It'd be great to have him back. It'd be great to be healthy all season with, you know, everybody on the team. That's a little much to expect. I mean, just look at what the St. Louis Blues have gone through. You almost have to prepare and guard yourself for the inevitable injuries. But, you know, once everyone is in the lineup, and it looks like that's going to be the case here tonight, I'm anxious to see, you know, the trickle-down effect of not only how it affects his line, but then how it affects the rest of the lineup, those third and fourth lines going down.
Chris Bowden joining us here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast on WGNRadio.com. I'm Mike Jacobson. He is Scott King, the man to my right. Chris, the newest addition to the WGN Radio family. You can hear him on the pre- and post-game show here. And pregame tonight, by the way, will be at 6:30. And you just mentioned those Blues. They're taking them on tonight. We kind of saw yesterday in practice that they're going to be messing around with the power play lines a little bit because, you know, even though they have this 4-1-1 start, power play hasn't been that good, 4-for-27. And I mean, what are you looking – do you think you could see right away an improvement tonight, or do you think it's going to take a couple of games for these guys to gel?
Well, yeah, the funny thing about it is you hammer these guys about it often enough because there's reason to hammer them, you know, with the lack of results that they're getting. You know, I think eventually the light goes on. You know, we saw it with the horrific penalty kill at the start of last season, and this year it's the power play's turn. And yeah, I'm kind of anxious to see although Schmaltz wasn't in those two power play. Oh yeah, he was
the first one, I believe,
play unit that they had. Yeah, they had Schmaltz out there with I think Kane and Hartman, that whole second line together, and one of the other units had the whole first line together. So from a speed standpoint, and Joel Quenneville said yesterday he's not really that, I don't know if it was yesterday or Monday, but he's not really that disappointed from an entry standpoint, getting the puck into the zone. But once they're there, it just seems to be difficult to get anything going. And you know, holding the puck too much, trying to be too cute, it's the same old cliches that you go over and over again every time a power play is struggling. But yeah, that's been the case. And all you're looking for is some positive momentum. If you're not going to get goals, at least, you know, turn the tide, get some momentum going. And, you know, if you can't bank one in on the man advantage, hopefully that carries over on 5-on-5 play, because, you know, the opposite effect, that just energizes the opposing team. And we've seen so much of that, seen too much of that so far this year.
Chris, something Joel Quenneville was forced to talk about on Monday was the Connor Murphy situation. You trade Nicholas Hjalmarsson, a guy who was a core guy who meant so much to the team, for Connor Murphy. So, you know, he's expected to be a top four D-man. Not only that, you got him for 4 years making almost $4 million. He's scratched in two of the six games, two of the last three, I think. So how, you know, how kind of strange is this situation and uncomfortable right now, and how bad can it get if Quenneville doesn't see what he wants out of Connor Murphy?
Yeah, I don't really think they're at that point yet. And I'm taking Joel at his word that I don't think Connor Murphy has been a disappointment. I haven't seen anything necessarily bad or poor in his play when he's been out there. It's just that, and the encouraging, you know, other side of that is that some of these young D that they're going to have to grow and rely upon and you hope are, you know, hitting their stride as well, like we were talking about with Schmaltz a couple of minutes ago. Hopefully these young defensemen, Ruta already seems there, and he's been, you know, the most pleasant surprise of all. But I also asked Joel on Monday about the two other young guys that they're going to be leaning upon if, you know, they're going to make any kind of deep playoff run, you know, come April and May, Forsling and Kempney. Guys who have less than a full NHL season under their belt in terms of games played, he really likes the way that they've been playing so far. So I think that's the positive aspect of this. Whereas I don't think Murphy's been bad, but yeah, he's been serviceable. You're eventually going to need more out of him, but yeah, I don't think he's necessarily the reason that they've lost a game to Minnesota or, you know, lost a game to Toronto. I don't think there's been any glaring mistakes that Murphy's made. It's just that these other guys haven't given him reason to be scratched either. So, yeah, he was the main piece brought in for Hjalmarsson, and they're going to expect more out of him. I just don't necessarily think he's been bad so far. So it'll be interesting thing to watch, especially, you know, if this continues for a while where Murphy's in and out of the lineup, how his attitude is. He's a coach's son. I think he'll take it well. But I think he also needs to know or realizes that while he has been serviceable, you know, average to good, there's another step he's going to need to make in order to, you know, bring the Blackhawks the return they expected in that trade.
Chris Bowden joining us here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. You can follow him at Bowden Tweets on Twitter. In terms of the goalie situation this year, Corey Crawford's been lights out, and I would say Forsberg's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, did you really expect either one of these guys to come out as hot as they have?
No, and fortunately they have, and especially Corey Crawford with the way he started. I mean, you know, there have been points in some of these games that he has won where, you know, the game is hanging in the balance. You know, we all know it in the close games with Nashville, but even in some of those earlier games against Pittsburgh and Columbus, early second period in that opener against Pittsburgh, despite the blowout first period that they had, Pittsburgh, you know, had a 5-on-3. They had a couple of early chances to gain some momentum in the second period of that game. Same way in the Columbus game where you know, Corey's come up with some big saves in order to keep a team from rallying. I know there is a Crawford contingent, a contingent out there that are not big Crawford fans, but hey, the guy's won 2 Stanley Cups. You know, every goalie goes through his ups and downs through the course of the season. It would be ridiculous to think he can keep things up at this pace. He's setting the bar pretty high for himself. As for, you know, Forsberg, like the way he looked in the one time we've seen him so far this season against Toronto, because man, that team just ran up and down the ice, and he came up with some big saves himself in that game in order to keep it close. It could have easily been a blowout the other way for the Maple Leafs. I'm anxious to see how he reacts when he's in all likelihood going to get another start tomorrow night against Edmonton. So far, small sample size through the preseason and one regular season game, but you know, hopefully he falls in the footsteps of, you know, the Scott Darlings and the Antti Rantas of years past too.
Hey, Chris, real quick, you've been covering Chicago sports forever, and I mean, is there an athlete in this town that has been more taken advantage of and or taken for granted, I guess you would say, than Corey Crawford? He's always been a guy that's never been able
flies to... flies under the radar.
He's never been able to get the credit I feel like he deserves.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think off the top of my head whether someone has been, you know, especially on good teams where, you know,
you've won championships.
There's always a supposed weak link. I'm trying to, you know, go through those Bulls championship runs of the 90s. And, no one necessarily sticks out like he has, you know, especially for, you know, you can make the argument outside of, you know, an NFL quarterback that an NHL goalie has, you know, the toughest job in all of sports for everything of the spotlight that's upon him and the responsibilities that he has. And yeah, off the top of my head, I can't really think of anybody in terms of, you know, within the framework of championship type teams, yeah, who has been, you know, maybe not as respected as well as he should be, because, you know, you look at the body of work and, you know, for those crying for other types of goalies, even for, you know, some of those Blackhawk fans who, you know, were more or less looking to be like a physical St. Louis Blues type team, you know, those hockey fans who like those style of teams, even though while the Blackhawks are winning championships, you know, you think of what Corey Crawford has done, you know, for those reaching for something a little bit better, you know, maybe take a look at what you got and respect what you have. And I think Corey Crawford's been one of those guys here over the past 5 years or so.
Chris, last thing we have for you, getting back to the power play units, the new ones. The first unit, Hartman, Schmaltz, Kane, Sharp, Seabrook. Second one, Saad, Taves, Panik, DeBrincat, Keith. You look at both of those units, someone who's usually on one of them left out now, and that's Artem Anisimov. Mm-hmm. Is that also indicative of his overall play offensively? Is there anything else he needs to do, or do they just think that those other guys are more suitable for what they need on power play now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think him, you know, moving up and down the lines as a result of that Schmaltz injury, you know, may have hurt him a little bit. That's certainly no excuse at all. Out of all these guys that have more or less gotten off to a fast start, you know, there's always some who are falling by the wayside. And I think, Anisimov's off to a little bit of a slow start. And, you know, to be quite honest, you want to get your best weapons out there. And you look at, what the composition of those two power play units out there, those are the guys who have been most productive here so far this season. For whatever reason, Anisimov isn't. You know, he's being held off one of those right now. And, for a power play that needs change, these are the changes Joel is making, and he's probably putting the hottest hands he has out there in order to try and get something going.
Favorite media meal you've had so far as the pre- and post-game host here at WGN Radio at the United Center?
Let's see. Yeah, I don't eat a whole lot before.
So it's never a good idea, right? To eat or drink a lot before.
I think all I've had so far, maybe last Saturday, maybe I just did a little Chinese while they had that, and that was good. Not too filling. You know, you don't want to get too bloated before you get on the air. You don't want to be up there burping.
Were you hungry again at the Chinese? They'll make you hungry again at second intermission?
I was at pregame and then first intermission. Yeah, I was ready for more, but I held off. I had a job to do.
Thanks again for joining us, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
We love having you aboard, and we are extremely lucky to have gotten you to come on board with us here as the pre- and post-game host of your Blackhawks. And tonight, again, pregame is at 6:30. You can hear him right here on 720 WGN and WGNradio.com. Also catch him on the postgame following the Blues and Blackhawks. Thanks again, Chris.
See you, Chris.
Mike, Scott, you're too kind. Thanks.
There he is, Chris Bowden. What a guy. He's awesome.
He's a gentleman.
He's always been
professional gentleman.
And he's been such a pro for so long, and he knows he can cover any sport in town.
Yeah.
But he's really knowledgeable about hockey, and the fact that we were able to tap into that knowledge is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So really looking forward to having him all year long and for many years to come. So coming up next, guess what we're doing? We're heading out west. Yeah, that's right. We're getting a Rockford report from our friend Brittany Tulis, a member of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here. And you know what? Actually, let's bring her in right now. Brittany, what's going on?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing just fantastic. Just got off the phone with Chris Bowden, talking a little Blackhawks, but we want to talk a little Ice Hogs with you since you're out in beautiful Rockford, Illinois.
Rock Vegas.
Yeah.
What is the latest?
We had two games this past weekend, our home opener. We split the weekend. But we did learn a lot from these guys.
What stood out the most in the win, more importantly?
The win. So there is a rookie named Matthew Highmore. 3-point night, 2 goals. He is on a 3-game point streak right now and is leading the team in points.
He's a forward?
And goals, yes.
He's pretty big, right? He's like 6'4 or something?
No.
I got the wrong guy then.
Yeah, maybe 6 foot. But he has been like kind of a breakout player.
I remember seeing him at camp. That's interesting. He's doing well now. Brittany, looks like, I don't know if he has a streak also, but every time I check Ice Hogs' website or Twitter, it looks like Laurent Dauphin. That's how you say his name is doing.
Dauphin.
Yeah. It seems like he's doing pretty well in Rockford.
Yeah, he is. He had a 2-goal night on the losing night, unfortunately, but really got the offense going. So we were kind of lagging the entire game, trying to like find our footing. And then the third period, like last 5 minutes, he put one in and then one in again, like 2 minutes later. And like, we almost came back. It was amazing.
Now that
he is doing really well also.
Okay. Now that you've seen the season start and they've started for the guys in Rockford, do you kind of see those expectations maybe of guys who know or think they're going to be up and down and the frustrations? Do you kind of see that go away? I don't know, maybe from their expressions or what they discuss in the locker room, and then they're just kind of focused on helping the team where they are now?
For some of them, yes. I 100% say you can kind of see them, like the not making the Hawks is kind of in the past, and right now they're focusing on their team currently. Like Gustafson has been awesome to watch play with these guys. Like he seems like his heart is out there the entire time. Same thing with Svedberg.
Okay, who in your mind do you think is going to get that first call when, the forward or defenseman, who's going to get that first call when someone is hurt on the Hawks and they need someone from Rockford?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to, because we have so few veterans. We only have like 4 or 5, and the veterans that we have had have been called up but then sent right back down. So I don't know if we'll go a new route and try one of the newer guys. Because I said they are young. A lot of them is their first year in the pros. But I think they do show some promise. Like Highmore, for instance,
who's
playing really well. And our defenseman, Darren Radish, was also on DeBrincat's team. And Darren won Defenseman of the Year alongside DeBrincat. So he's been doing really well, too, and also had his first goal over the weekend. So I think he might be up there, too. He might be in the talks.
So with Ted Dent exiting this past year, now enter Jeremy Colleton. How has he looked as the head coach? Does he look like he's acclimated? Does he look like he feels comfortable behind the bench?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is, like, always calm, cool. No matter what, like, the circumstances, you can tell he's very calm and, like, has faith in his team. He's only 3 years removed from the game.
Yeah, he looks like a baby. I mean, he's more of a baby face than me, which is, like, impossible.
I know. He's only 32, so
he's my age, yeah.
The only reason he's not playing
friends.
Due to injury. Oh, he's a babe. he just plain looks good behind the net too. But no, he's like very like 3 years out of the game coaching.
He played pro hockey for 8 seasons. So yeah, and he was out in Sweden coaching.
Yeah, prior he coached to for 3 years in Sweden, and the first year he coached was like half of a year he was like an interim coach because he got injured, and then they liked what he did so much they kept him for 2 more seasons. He advanced the team up a league. So he did a lot of good work, and like I said, he's young with the guys. He's out there and skates with them. He conditions with them, which I think is awesome.
That's awesome. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's super cool, and I think it's like super great for like the morale to feel like your coach doing it alongside you.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's awesome, and he's very focused on like keeping a high pace because he knows we're not big, but we're fast. So he's trying to get them to work those legs the entire 60 minutes of the game.
Right after the Hawks mold. Interesting. Brittany, how has Vinny Hinostroza looked in those first two games?
He is very hot and cold. He has moments of like, oh my God, it's awesome. Like he's doing so well. And then other moments of just like, oh, go like push a little harder, go a little further.
Has he
so
regressed?
I think he might be one that's still a little in the mindset of not.
Okay.
Doing that in the Hawks.
Okay. Well, do you think the issue is that he regressed to what his issue was before, is that he had so much speed and he would come up with so much speed that maybe it would be hard to get his hands going and control the puck? Is that what you're seeing go wrong there?
Yes, I can see. Yeah, because there was one instance like that stands out the most over the weekend where he had like this awesome breakaway. There was maybe one or two defenders close behind him, not too close, but just close enough for that he could probably see them out of the peripheral, and just kind of like the puck just flew out of his hand. Like he kept skating and the puck was 2 feet behind him. So yes, I could definitely see that still being an issue.
Rockford Report, thanks again to Brittany Tulis for joining us today, and we'll be checking in with her often on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here, and hopefully you'll be back in town soon. When are you coming back to the Windy City?
I will be back on Saturday to work at Johnny's.
Oh, there you go.
I live in ice rinks, I swear.
Well, there's worse places to live, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, thanks again for joining us, Brett.
See you, Brittany.
All right, thanks, guys. See you later.
From beautiful Rockford, Brittany Tulis joins us there. Ugh. I love the Ice Hawks. It's a lot of fun. I know your sister used to work here.
The games are super fun. They're super fun.
I wouldn't go too much farther away from the BMO Harris Bank Center.
You're not going to go on vacation to Rockford? You're not going to get a vacation house in Rockford, Mike?
Yeah, I don't think so. Rockford's, you know, it is what it is, but those games are a lot of fun, and I really do mean that. They are a lot of fun, so if you've never been, it is worth the train ride out there just for that.
Yeah.
It really is. So we're out of time. That's what happens when you have two guests. Just zooms on by.
I was wondering how that was going to work. You know, we've been bringing people in, and I thought, you know, we'll do two good phoners with two valuable assets.
Absolutely.
And the fun train got going, and now it's pulling out of town.
That's it. But thanks again to Chris Bowden and Brittany Tulis for joining us. Again, Blackhawks hockey on the air tonight. 6:30 p.m. pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop with John and Troy. Chris on the pregame call and the postgame call, too. You can catch it all right here on WGNRadio.com as well if you can't get to a terrestrial radio. Again, you are on Chelsea Blogger. That is your blog on WGNRadio.com. So it'll be in St. Louis tonight. It's going to be a national broadcast. Eddie Olczyk will be in the booth.
That's amazing.
So that is really cool that he'll be back for the next couple of nights. He'll be at the United Center on Thursday, too. So our best to Eddie, who again, is a great friend of the show and of all media, for that matter. So, again, Blackhawks Crazy Facebook. Check us out. Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. He is at Scott King Media on Twitter. I am at Jacobson Radio on Twitter. Till next week, we'll talk to you then.